Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. It's one I've been really looking forward to because it's the first one I'm doing that's all about books. And I'm someone who is, what's the fancy word, a bibliophile or a bookworm. I just love books. And in preparation for this, I got great pleasure in going through my library, the books I've collected over the years. They're probably the one thing I hoard, actually. And then, of course, there's the books that I have on my Kindle as well. And what I want to share with you is some of the books that I love and I take down off the shelves and I turn to them again and again. Some I've read three or four times, and most of them will fall within the category of personal or spiritual development books. And then there's also a few novels in there as well that I suppose do touch on some of those themes too. What I find, or here's an interesting fact about me that maybe you don't know, but I've kept a diary since the 1st of January 1986. And by diary, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I'm writing a little account of that day. So I have an account of every day going back to the beginning of 1986, back to my school days. And but one of the things that I've done is at the front cover of the diary, I keep a note of the books that I read. So I also have a record of every book that I've read over the last three decades or so. Now, that might be a little bit anal, I don't know. But it's just something that I like to do. And of course, now it's a well-instilled habit. And at this time of the year, coming into the summer, and maybe some of us are fortunate to have some summer holidays planned, some time out to rest and recharge. And for me, there's always another or in there as well, which is to read. You know, I like nothing better than on holidays getting lost in a big, thick, well-written novel. Usually one that I've just put to one side. I'm already lining a few up this year as well. In recent times, there's always been one by Kate Atkinson, the writer. Her latest book, Big Sky, is one that I'm looking forward to reading. And what's also fascinating at the minute this summer, I've picked up a book that I read about 20 years ago, The Count of Monte Cristo, an old classic. And the writing is very small in it. So that's something that I've noticed now as opposed to 20 years ago. I think, gosh, the writing's very small. Must be getting older. And I always remember back then, almost the tears coming down my face, not out of emotional connection with the book, but because I kept reading it and it was such a page turner that at nighttime eyes were so tired, but it's like, no, I'll just do another page. I'll just do another page. So I'm going back to relive that pleasure as well, which is what books are all about. So as I say, this week's episode, I'm sharing five or six of my favorite reads that may inspire you. Or trigger some reminders for you, because possibly you've come across these books yourself before. But the first book on my list is one that when I looked at it, I was smiling because the spine of it is broken. I've read it so many times, and that's A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. So what's this one about? Well, you may have come across this book before. If you haven't, you've probably heard of the of his previous book, perhaps his most famous book, The Power of Now, which is another famous or another favorite of mine. The New Earth, it's out about 10 or 12 years now. It has the subtitle Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And it provides a spiritual background for creating more meaning in your life. Now, I particularly love the first part of this book, I have to say. And it's one where he introduces the concept of the pain body, you know, where we'll all, you know, feel hurt and pain. And that's always an indication to pay attention to something. But of course, from this place, we can never make good decisions or take good actions. What I find in this book as well is he really dismantles those modern ideas of ego and entitlement and gives us somewhat of a roadmap for discovering just the joy of being. Of course, A New Earth is one of Oprah's favorite books. It even has its own masterclass on her network where she discusses with the author Eckhart Tolle the book chapter by chapter. As I say, I've read it four or five times, and each time I've read it, I've gone into it with a different colored pen. So I know the different times that I, at different reads, I've underlined different parts, and I always smile when I look at some of them and say, how could I have miss this one the first time around, or why did I underline that? But of course, as we pick up a book again, particularly a personal or spiritual development book, we see it with new eyes and we see it from a new place of learning. Some of the more recent sections that I've underlined, which sort of hit the nail on the head for me, these are one or two quotes from the book. He says, life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. That one really resonated, because with some recent health issues, you know, perhaps that's giving me some handrails or a way to look at it through a learning lens. There was also the neat little phrase, what you react to in another, you strengthen in yourself, which is a different way of saying, you know, if you spot it, you got it, you know, based on the old Bible quote of seeing the splinter in someone else's eye and not noticing the plank in your own. For me, modern spiritual type books like A New Earth, you know, they interpret for me in an accessible and logical way some of the wisdom of the ages, you know, the universal truths, often some of the core tenets or lessons from books such as the Bible. So A New Earth, I would recommend it if you're looking for a book that maybe will stimulate your own personal and spiritual development, for sure. Ways of moving beyond fear towards happiness, you know, simple if we want a bit more joy in our lives, but at the same time, give us many concepts to ponder. So that's our first one, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. A second favourite book of mine, and I just love it, I reread it only last summer, is The Shack by W. Paul Young. Again, a book you may have come across, it's out about 10 or 12 years now. And of course, it was made into a movie about 2 years ago, starring Sam Worthington and the wonderful Octavia Spencer. So what's the book about? Well, the first part of it is a novel. I often think it's a unique book because it's part thriller, part spiritual blockbuster. I first read it back in 2009 and I read it on holidays, and I was watching the page numbers in it, which I sometimes do with books because it's like, oh gosh, I'm near the end because I hate to give up on a book. But this one, it was the opposite way around. It's like I so wanted to savour it that I just didn't want the book to end. The first part of it, if you're not familiar with the story, it's about a man, the main character, his daughter is kidnapped and murdered. And then he visits the shack where she was killed. And there she has an encounter. There he has an encounter with God. And the central question of this book is perhaps one that we've all asked ourselves over the years, you know, is why did God let this happen? I have to say this book really changed me. It turbo boosted my spiritual development, broadened my understanding of what life is really about. It's close to me on the bookshelves, I always have to say. And again, a few segments from it that just really resonated. There was one that I suppose was a bit humorful. And I think for some people reading the book, they found, you know, the character of God in it perhaps a little bit irreverent, which is somewhat ironic. And of course, the author has been accused of being a heretic as well by people who are perhaps insecure in their own beliefs. But there was one humorous bit on it, you know, where it said marriage is not an institution, it's a relationship. I don't create institutions. That's the occupation for those who want to play God. And there was another paragraph too that really spoke to me. You know, people are tenacious when it comes to the treasure of their imaginary independence. They hoard and hold their sickness with a firm grip. They find their identity and worth in their brokenness and guard it with every ounce of strength they have. No wonder grace has so little attraction. In that sense, you have tried to lock the door of your heart from the inside. So, as with all of the books I really admire, they are well written, as I would see it, you know, where the author has put some time and attention into just finding the right word or phrase, or, you know, saying in the fewest words possible something that has a real core of truth to it. So for me, for me to recommend this book, I'd say it's just a good read. If you're looking for a new way to relate to God or to widen your spiritual development, or you just simply want to be moved, this book really moved me, I have to say, from the descriptions, the beauty, the emotion that was in it. So second book, second favourite of mine is The Shack by W. Paul Young. The third book on my list is one that maybe you've not come across. It perhaps is slightly more obscure. It's The Call by the wonderfully named Orion Mountain Dreamer. And the author's name, that is her Native American Indian name. I think originally she's Canadian. And of course, her previous books were equally good, the invitation and the dance. But this one, The Call, is my personal favourite. Like her other books, this one opens up with a wonderful poem titled The Call, and then each chapter dissects it and expands on it, and it's full of just heartfelt sentiment. Like all great reads, this book gives language to the feelings and hurts and hopes that we all share but maybe cannot voice ourselves. And the author generously shares her own story, which is something that's really important to me in these type of books, you know, where the author is vulnerable themselves, because we learn, or we relate to, and we learn through other people's challenges and their triumphs as well. For me, it's a book that's just full of truth. I often say, and I say this to groups that I work with myself, that, you know, not all learning comes from the outside in. I think sometimes the most impactful learning is when there's a stimulus on the outside, but it reminds us of something that we thought we had forgotten. And for me, that's wisdom. What I also liked about this book, it doesn't sugarcoat the spiritual journey. Like, it's sleeves rolled up, and, you know, it's like the old phrase of spiritual practice. It does require practice, and it's not spiritual perfection. Each practical, or it's a very practical book as well, because each chapter closes with an exercise or a meditation. And again, to give you a little flavor of it, just one or two segments I underlined at the last reading of it. It's like, who would you be if you did not do what you do every day? Now, there's a good question. Of course, wearing my coaching hat, I love good questions. Another segment, the only way for you to know what you are, to know your essential attribute, is for you to be in a position where you have to use that attribute to test it, to feel its strength, its power to heal when healing seems impossible. And again, for me, a really great book starts in the imagination of the author, but of course it finishes in the imagination of the reader. It's like a word or a phrase just captures us, and then we run with it. Again, this book, if you're looking to perhaps live in a more authentic way, or you want to banish that old false assumption that we all run around lack of worthiness, this book would, you would get something from it. Of course, there's a lot of shamanism in it as well, so if those shamanic traditions appeal to you, it's one to pick up. So that's our third one, The Call by Araya Menton Dreamer. Number four on my list, again, is one that's slightly more obscure. It's Getting Into the Vortex by Esther and Jerry Hicks. Now, anyone who knows me will know probably my favourite spiritual teacher is Abraham Hicks. And this is a little bit out there, because Abraham Hicks is a collective consciousness from the non-physical dimension. And I don't like using the word channeling, but it is something then that comes through or is spoken by Esther Hicks. And most of the material that I consume from Esther or Abraham Hicks is via YouTube. There's loads and loads, hundreds, thousands of free videos, clips of workshops, which I will listen to if I'm in the kitchen making dinner, let's say. This book, a good few years old, because a few years ago, Jerry Hicks passed away. And it's the second book in the series. It follows up to equally a terrific read, Ask and It Is Given. Renowned authors such as the late Wayne Dyer or Louise Hay have referred to Abraham Hicks as perhaps the best teacher on the planet today. I found Getting Into the Vortex is a very simple read. And when I bought the book, again, 8-9 years ago, there was an accompanying DVD, or not DVD, CD with it, where there are 4 or 5 different meditations on it. So rather than just a book, it's a bit more of an immersive experience. So you're saying Get Into the Vortex. Well, what is the vortex, I hear you ask? For me, and people can relate to it in different ways, I describe it as being aligned with my higher self, that place of flow and ease and peace and joy. You know, the place where we feel at one with ourselves, with life, with God, feeling connected and guided. Our essence is source energy, and the conscious connection to that non-physical part of ourselves is necessary for us to feel really fulfilled. And as I say, this book with the accompanying CD gives us very tangible tools for aligning with our vortex, or just getting in touch with ourselves or our source. And it focuses on four key areas, general well-being, financial abundance, physical well-being, and our relationships. And a few bits that I underlined on the last reading. You know, being happy is a very personal thing. It has really nothing to do with anyone else. Sort of true. Very simple one. Your life is supposed to feel good to you. You know, that's a nice affirmation or mantra to have. And then another one, you know, when you find a way to stop resisting who you have become and allow yourself to become a vibrational match to who you have become, you're in a state of thriving. Lovely message that. If you are aware of, say, the book The Secret, which of course is all about law of attraction, for me, the work of Abraham Hicks is far deeper than the marketing phenomenon that was The Secret. It's about, you know, satisfaction in the moment, but it is also about law of attraction. But it, for, as I say, for me, it's much more substantive. So that was the fourth one, Get Into the Vortex by Esther and Jerry Hicks. So there's two more books I want to share with you in this week's podcast about some of my favourite reads, particularly wearing a spiritual or personal development hat. But I want to take a quick moment to thank you for tuning in. I'm on, what, the 12th or 13th week now with the podcast. It's a labour of love for me. And I'm delighted with the feedback I've been getting. I've been trying to cover a whole range of topics. It's still a little bit like a work in progress for me until I fine-tune what most resonates with readers. But perhaps covering a cross-section of topics will appeal to more people. So if you've been enjoying them, thank you. Great if you can give me a review or a star rating or even subscribe or pass the details on to friends or family who might find it of benefit. So I just wanted to say that in case I forget when we get to the end. So the next book, again, a slightly more obscure one, this, but maybe bringing something new that you could check out into your awareness. And it's a book titled When the Heart Waits by Sue Monk-Kidd. Now, you might have heard of Sue Monk-Kidd. She wrote several acclaimed novels, including The Invention of Wings and The Secret Life of Bees, which I've read and loved. And of course, The Secret Life of Bees was also turned into a movie. When I came across the fact that she had written a book about her own spiritual journey, I just bought it straight away. And I wasn't disappointed. In it, she shares in a very honest and heartfelt way her own spiritual crisis when life seemed to be losing meaning for her. As many people, you know, as many people do, sometimes we will all struggle with the question, what should I do or what should I do next? And we try to force things to happen. But the author reminds us that everything is always taken care of if we just maybe stop pushing as hard. The old concept of surrendering, maybe. She gives the wonderful analogy, of course, of the caterpillar and the cocoon. You know, if someone tries to poke a hole in the cocoon before it's time, the butterfly will emerge, but with undeveloped wings and unable to fly. And of course, we all like to fly or soar. There was a few segments in this book, of course, that I underlined. And to share one or two bits with you. She writes, addictive behavior keeps us unaware of what's going on inside us. It's true. Another one, being still and waiting in one place, going not forward but inwards, was the sort of progress that really counted, the sort that gives us wings. And then the final one, avoiding pain rather than having the discipline and courage to confront it and live it through only compounds our suffering in the long run. So again, those quotes might give you just a little sense of where this book is coming from. I would recommend it, of course, if you loved her other writing, her other novels. If you're looking for a well-written account and an honest account of going through a midlife crisis, for me, it was the right book at the right time. And of course, for those of us who like to contemplate the big questions of life, well, then this book is something that will stir up your thinking as well. So that book is the When the Heart Waits by Sue Monk-Kidd. The last book I'll reference, and it's one that you've certainly heard of, I'm sure, and I've only reread it for, I think, the third or fourth time in the last few weeks, and it's Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. Now, even if you've not read the book, you've possibly seen the Julia Roberts movie, you know, and the movie has been slated, but I have to say, I've enjoyed the movie. I particularly like the segment in Italy. It always gets me reaching for ice cream or pizza or pasta. But the book is so much better. You know, we often hear that, you know, the book was better than the movie. If ever there was a case for that, it's this one. And the main reason being that Elizabeth Gilbert is just a fantastic writer. I just love her writing. I read virtually all of her books. Committed, which was not quite the follow-up to Eat, Pray, Love, but it was up the same theme. Big Magic, another personal or spiritual development book. And The Signature of All Things, a real doorstop of just a good novel that she wrote a few years ago. And of course, this summer she has a new one out, City of Girls, which looks at the lifespan of, I think, some showgirls from the 1940s in New York. And I say so much better than the book, so much better than the movie. And there was, for those of you who've not maybe come across it, she was having a crisis, third life crisis, marriage broken down, was looking to reconnect with herself again, and decided to go off to three different countries, all beginning with the letter I. Italy for nourishment and for food, India for spiritualism. She stayed in an ashram, and then Bali and Indonesia to try to find balance between them. Exceptionally well-written book, very thought-provoking. Perhaps one of the core pieces that I took from that book, or any book that I've ever read, is at the end of the second section, where she says in very simple terms, you know, God lives in me as me. You know, God as a verb, as it were, as opposed to a noun. Not only did I underline that, I think I circled it many times with a marker, and it stayed with me. So again, you possibly have seen the movie. It's great escapism, but I do recommend this book if, again, you're curious, if you're on a spiritual journey yourself, if you're just looking to change things up. And even if you have read it or come across the movie before, there was a book out last year to celebrate its 10th anniversary with the wonderful title, Eat, Pray, Love Made Me Do It. So it was personal accounts from people who read the book and made changes in their lives, which I equally loved to read. So last book recommended, a personal favourite of mine, Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. One of the reasons why I did this podcast is that I'm often asked to recommend books or authors, and maybe to speak about some of my own favourite ones. Of course, it would be remiss of me not to say that I've written 5 books myself, including 2 novels, all details on my website, of course. But when I look through my bookshelves and I look at the authors where I have read more than one of their books, or if I go back to them again and again, there's a few more names that jump out at me and perhaps could be the subject of future podcasts. The wonderful Brené Brown, of course. Sydney Banks, Barbara Brown Taylor, Frederick Buchner, Deepak Chopra, Paulo Coelho. Of course, everyone knows The Alchemist. It is a wonderful book. It is a favourite of mine, but of course, he has so many other books as well. Anthony DeMello, the late, great Wayne Dyer, Byron Katie, Anne Lamott, our own John O'Donoghue, Caroline Mace, Richard Rohr, Ianna Van Sant, Doreen Virtue, Brian Weiss, Marion Williamson, of course, Gary Zukav. They're just some of the personal business development, spiritual development authors that I admire. You know, this is the time of the year, as I say, when maybe if we're not reading the whole year round, of course, as some of us are, that we do reach for a book because perhaps we're going to be stretched out by a pool or time out to rest and recharge and resource ourselves. And I hope some of the books that I've mentioned this year or in this podcast might just be ones that you would like to check out if you're stuck for a little bit of reading that's a bit more than just a page turner, but those books that maybe speak to us or stimulate something inside of us. As I say, if you've come across some books that I've not mentioned that you particularly love, I'm always on the lookout for a good read, so feel free to drop me an email through the website. On that topic, of course, my website, jamessweetman.com, has details of my own books, as I mentioned, as well as all of the other services that I provide in my coaching and speaking practice. So thank you for tuning in. As I say, I'm a great book lover, and I'm sure there will be more podcasts with more books recommended in the future. So until next time.